In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm laughing because this is a great moment where AV doesn't know if I'm going to come down off the step yet or not. Here it comes. There we go. If you were at home, you'd find this more amusing because this is where my head usually gets chopped off. But we're getting there. We're going to learn to communicate, which is really what I think this message is about today, is about this concept of communication and relationship in the church. But it's really challenging, isn't it? I mean, we hear these words, and even as I was reading through what the scholars have written about it, which I am not one, I just find it very interesting that, it's really not shocking, but it's interesting that I find myself in just a little bit of disagreement. But I guess I get that option, right? So being your resident theologian, I think there's more to it than what I read about in my preparation. And I've always sort of felt that way about it because we hear this and it's really dealing with, and even some of the writings I saw on this passage, one was titled Handling Matters of Church Discipline. Now, I don't know about you, but that immediately is not exciting to me. Being someone who spent the majority of their life in great need of discipline, I don't like being reminded of it. So I immediately start to kind of shut down, you know, and church discipline, oh my. I'm pretty familiar with the church. Maybe discipline isn't something we should be handling. Organized religion concept, I don't know if you've ever been in the administrative office of a church. Organized is not normally what we look like. I mean, we do a good job. The people who work here in this community do an excellent job, but organized is questionable. Everything comes at you all the time, right? What makes it so hard? Well, what makes it so hard is there's so many of us, all different. Community. It's about community. Now, the interesting thing about community is there's really nothing simple about living in community, is there? Whether it's just within your household or within the, maybe just under the guise of your homeowners association. You've heard about communities, right? It's never easy. Hey, nobody runs up and says, hey, I want to get on the board for the homeowners association. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, don't. I made that mistake once. My goodness. Communities really struggle because we're right there all the time with each other. And because of that, we see everything about everybody. And sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to live in. And now the church is saying, well, we're reading this passage from Matthew and saying the church needs to have some authority to help people function in community, and if they don't function in community, well, maybe they shouldn't be in the community. And most of us go, that doesn't sound right to me. It doesn't sound right to me either, by the way, in case you want to get that out of the way so you don't have to be thinking about it for the next 10 minutes or so. I see it as Christ's expectation of how we will live in community. Both sides. He has really, really high expectation that his people are going to live not just in community, but in very close relationships with one another. Relationships very close. So has anyone ever felt as though they were sinned against within the church? Trickier question. Anybody sinned against another person in the church? I'm raising my hand because I'm raising my hand. Yeah, and some people raising more than one. The reality is, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Because, well, we're not perfected. So you get a bunch of people who are not perfected and you put them all together in one community, guess what? You're going to run into each other. Somebody's going to step on somebody's toes. When I went off to seminary, they referred to it as we need to knock off, you're here not only to learn, but we're here to make sure we knock off some of your rough edges. And we lived in community for 3 years. I had no idea how many rough edges I had. It left marks. And it's like being in the rock tumbler. You know, they don't go out and find smooth stones that polish, you know, and they get them all polished and shiny. No, they're rocks like any other rock, and then they put them in a barrel and they run into each other and knock the edges off of each other until they smooth out. That's community. It's a perfect example, and every now and then they throw a little grit in there to help sand the stones down. You're familiar with the process? I wasn't really familiar with it until I got to seminary, and they described it. I said, oh, that's very interesting. And I left seminary, and I was a little smoother, and I understood it even better. So if you think this is rough, you should have seen me before. But the reality is when we live in community, that is what it looks like. We're going to have these rough edges. Each of us got them. Most of us even know where our rough edges are. And somebody's going to run into your rough edge, and you're going to run into theirs. So it's not just about the person who's done what is wrong. It's about how the person's going to respond to them. It's about the relationships that we are building as members of the body of Christ. Amen? How deep is it? Now, in my world, there are people who will come to me and say, you really hurt me when you did this or said that or whatever it is. And then there are some who won't say that at all. But you know who are the people who will come to me that I've really hurt? Are the people closest to me. The people who really know me. The people who know my heart. That would say, I heard him say that, but it just doesn't feel right to me. I need to go and speak to him. And it's usually, it starts within my own house, the people closest to me, and then those just outside, the family, and then it extends to some other people in my lives. And I have that same, we call it authority to speak into another person's life. So certain people have immediate authority to speak into my life and say, hey, your behavior doesn't seem right. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone has sinned against me or I have sinned against another, my favorite thing to do is what I would like to refer to as conflict avoidance. It's like, that person who really hurt me just walked through the door. I'm going to go this way. Or that person who really hurt me is calling me on my phone. I'm just going to ignore them. Or I know I've really hurt this person, but I really just don't want to face it. So what we tend to do is we tend to avoid it. And what we're hearing about this morning in the gospel according to Matthew from Jesus is don't do that. It's very different, isn't it? Is that if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Oh. But I don't want to do that. Because that's weird and uncomfortable. But yet Jesus is saying that's what the church looks like. And it's not just about this one person who can't, well, in this particular example, this person apparently doesn't hear it at all. Right? So if that doesn't work, go get a couple other people. If that still doesn't work, tell the church. We're supposed to be accountable to one another, brothers and sisters. We are held accountable for our behaviors. The most common thing to happen in a church community, if someone's behavior is out of alignment with Christian community, everyone gives that person a really wide berth. They just go around them. Or they compensate for them. And they just smile and go, well, that's just the way they are. Staying just the way we are is the exact opposite of transformation. Are you aware of that? See, this concept of transformed lives, transforming the world, which is what we proclaim as Holy Innocents Episcopal Church, as a community, amen? Here's the struggle. It feels good to go out there and think we're transforming the world. But our transformed lives, in the process of being transformed, looks more like the rock tumbler. That's where our rough edges pop out and they get crashed into by somebody else and maybe their rough edge. And the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? And we can run, we can separate, we can look at somebody who's having a really hard time and just give them a really wide berth. Or, brothers and sisters, we can do what Jesus is calling us to do. We can walk up to that person and say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Because we've both chosen to live in Christian community here at Holy Innocence, or wherever you might be. It's the same everywhere you go. This is not an indictment on this community, by the way. It's the church in general. But the fact is, we could just come up to that person and say, hey, what's going on? Your behavior concerns me a little bit. And if I'm looking you in the eye right now, don't panic. It's just a bad habit of mine when I'm preaching. Doesn't mean anything. And if you feel like it did, you can come tell me about it. But we need to be able to do that. And in order to do that, we have to have some really close relationships with each other, don't we? Which is exactly what Jesus is calling us to, as Paul refers to us as the body of Christ. I don't think you can get much closer than your body part. You know, my finger is pretty close to my hand. And hopefully they'll stay that way if I stay away from the power tools. But we're drawn to be together by Christ himself. And when that happens, we have to remember that each of us is still in a process of being transformed, which means we can't expect perfection. I don't know anyone who can walk around and said, you should absolutely expect perfection from me. Anybody ready to make that statement? No. So what does that say to us? We absolutely cannot expect perfection from another, can we? So what do we do about it? Well, it seems like there's a solution right here in Matthew 18. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If that doesn't work out, take somebody with you. If that doesn't work out, it'll become known to the church automatically. And then something strange happens, doesn't it? See, Jesus expects us to become reconciled to one another. And what happens next is where my disagreement with the scholars comes. Take it to the church, and if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So all the scholars will say, well, you got to remember how the Jews treated Gentiles and tax collectors back then, because that's what they're talking about. And then I'd say, but I thought this was Jesus. Isn't this direction coming from Jesus? And I have to say, okay, I understand you want to do this in the context. And maybe Jesus was saying that to them so they would understand that you can just set that person aside. But then when Jesus is walking down the road and the tax collector is up there trying to see him coming, he comes to him and says, hey, come down from there. And what did the Pharisees accuse him of? Eating with sinners, tax collectors, healing Gentiles, not even Jewish people, touching them. Sitting with a sinful Gentile woman at the well. Well, borderline Gentile. She wasn't officially Jewish, was she? Depending on who you asked. So what does he really mean? So I had to think about that. Is he really saying if someone is unable to hear that their behavior is inappropriate as a Christian within the body of Christ, that we should kick them out? And I would say, I don't think that's exactly what he's saying. I think, in a sense, we have to remember in any disagreement, there has to be at least what? Two people. Now, you may be able to disagree with yourself, but that's between you and yourself, apparently. But it usually takes at least two people. And I'd say, so when we read this passage, brothers and sisters, we should hear not only the encouragement for us to go forward when someone has sinned against us, to be willing to go to that brother or sister. Now remember, this is behavior in the church. For people who are outside the church, that is not what this direction is for. But for the people within the church, the followers, his disciples, we should be able to go to that other person and say, this is what's happened, so that we can be reconciled to one another. Here's the tough part. If we are going to be honest, which so far we have been, no one's claimed any perfection in their relationships, and we all are aware we have some rough edges, amen? Once in a while, the person they come to is going to be you. How should we respond? See, because that's all part of this too, isn't it? So if you don't hear it from the one person, then a couple other people come to you, now you got to start thinking, maybe I should look at what's going on here. Maybe I need to check my behavior. If the whole church is made aware of it, and you know they're aware of it, and you find yourself standing in opposition to the church, guess what? You're already out of community. Amen? So are we really throwing them out, or are they just choosing to be out? They may have just chosen to be out. And then Jesus says, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And I checked, every place I checked within the Gospels, the Jesus I know always showed grace and mercy. Always. To every Gentile and every tax collector. Sometimes as we journey together, people will join the community, but not really join fully. We have to commit to all aspects of being a faithful community of followers of Jesus, which means we are given instruction from time to time on what it might look like. And what it looks like, brothers and sisters, is a very deep, close relationship with one another, one so close that if I sin against you or you sin against me, we should be able to sit for a moment and say, I think something happened here. How do we fix it? And as I even read some of the writings on this passage, one of them said, doesn't really apply today, because when you go to somebody, if they don't like what you hear, they just get up and go to the church down the street. Well, they're not wrong, are they? But what I would say to you, brothers and sisters, in this community, Holy Innocents Episcopal Church, here in this building, out there in the world watching, we are called to be people transformed, transforming the world. So when we hear these hard things, you can just hear this. Here is a tool of transformation. It's just not easy. And it requires us to come forward and say, your behavior hurt me. To have that strength and know that we should be safe to do that. And by the way, since none of us are perfect and all of us recognize we have rough edges, we have to be ready from time to time for someone to come to me or to you and say, you've hurt me. And we have to hear it. And that is difficult. But if you've ever done it, if you've ever had a relationship where the other person can freely come to you and express to you the way in which they are feeling at the very deepest part of their soul, and you can hear that, and you can then recognize your actions, and you can change just a little bit, let God expand you some, and live into that, that relationship grows so much stronger, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And sometimes, the other person isn't ready to do it. And when that happens, as members of the body of Christ, true followers of Jesus, we offer grace and mercy. It's a challenging reading. I considered avoiding it. By the looks on your faces, maybe I should have. So hard to tell with just the eyes. But I promise you that the true beauty of community comes after we walk through the storm together, not when we pretend it isn't happening. True Christian relationship requires honesty, humility, grace, and mercy. And Jesus is saying to us today, in my opinion, although not all scholars will agree, how you respond matters. How many of us have received pain from the church instead of grace and mercy? The church can hurt. It has hurt me too. And sometimes we have to offer that grace and mercy to people who dress like me. And we have to stand and say, we are in this together. How do we do it better? Because Jesus says this, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anyone bound by being put out of the faith community. I don't want to see it in this world and in this life, and I certainly don't want to see it in the next. It's not easy to be Christ-like, which of course is why he indwells you, so that you will find the strength to do it from him. Because it doesn't exist for you on your own. A difficult instruction. But what an incredible outcome when we live into it. Love one another. Offer grace. Offer mercy. And in love, tell the truth to one another. Because if you withhold it, when you've been hurt, you may actually be withholding someone's opportunity for transformation. And when you refuse to go to them, you are refusing your own transformation. And if you refuse to hear it when someone comes to you, you are refusing your own transformation. And if we are unwilling to be formed by Christ in community, we are just unwilling to be formed by Christ. And if you find yourself outside community, because community wouldn't conform to you, look at yourself. All of us are flawed. What a glorious mess we can be when we focus on Christ first. Amen.